Hello, this is Deborah Cohen. Welcome to A Story in a Song. And today we're going to talk about unity and how we can achieve unity amongst all peoples by singing together. So if that interests you, please come back right after this brief message. Hello, this is Deborah Cohen. I'm so glad you found me online. My music is a variety of genres, starting in the 80s as a new wave singer-songwriter, opening up for Joan Jett in Kenmore Square, Boston. From there, I wandered into different genres, exploring my faith, praise music, interfaith music, and pop, rock, indie music, as well as music for TV, film, and movies. So there's all kinds of things to learn listening to my podcast, A Story and a Song. And I hope that you will enjoy the journey with me and that you will share what you hear. Thank you for listening. And this is Deborah Cohen, and I want to thank you if you're watching live from Instagram. I see a couple of people in the house here. We got Ribar Slevani and Masha. I'm not doing a good job here. Masha Sokol Music and Melanie Joy Music. Well, how about that? And more to come. And it's also live on twitch.tv. So if you're interested in learning about singing for unity, I'm teaching today from my perspective with a Jewish background, but this certainly would apply to Christianity or Islam or whatever your belief system or no belief system is. So I'll try to explain along the way as I read the terminology. Some of the key words are in Hebrew, but just put them in your own perspective and try to glean something from the universal language of music. Music can be used in a positive way to break down barriers. So whatever your religion is, I pray that the message that you would want to use this information for is to bring unity to the world, because we all know in our heart of hearts that we're in a broken world, and there are things that we can do individually and collectively to bring people together. To the right, if you're watching on the video, is a graphic of my newest merch item. It's a tree of life. And if you believe in the story of the Garden of Eden, Angidan, or I think in Arabic it's Gena, then there trees are part of God's creation. And it's a message of bringing people together by nature. So if that appeals to you, you can find my merch on Amazon.com. Just look for Deborah Cohen on Amazon, wherever music is streamed. So let's begin. Now, a term that we're using here, according to Kabbalistic beliefs, is nigun. And a nigun is a melody without words. So, you know, like humming, but you're making syllable sounds like di da di da di da di da di. Welcome, Grammy Tucker 70. Now, the second line was with words, so that's not a nigun. But when you start out without words, these are wordless melodies that bubble up from your heart. Now, a nigun is used comfortably in Kabbalistic or Hasidic environments, but you can start doing niguns in your car when you're driving, or you can introduce them to your congregation if you're a song leader, but you have to have the courage to do this, because most people aren't familiar with what a nigun is, and they're like, why is she up there humming to herself? But it's a way of teaching people a melody without, you know, showing them sheet music, because if you're like me, I have a rock and roll background, and I went to music school in, let's see, was it 1978 or something like that? And as soon as they started on the music theory, I dropped out because I'm like, you know what? I just want to play rock and roll. As soon as I can learn bar chords, I'm out of here. And I'm sorry I did that, but that was my attitude when I was in my 20s. As soon as I learned how to play 1-4-5 bar chords, you know, rock power chords, I went into a band and toured New England. But that's another story. So consider a path to higher consciousness and transformation of being. We're talking about an experience, giving people an experience with music instead of entertainment. I don't believe in my heart of hearts that anybody that is singing worship to their God, whoever you believe God to be, should be up there entertaining people. That's not the idea. That was never the reason for God to give us a voice to sing, to entertain people. We are given a voice, our heart voice, to sing to God or the Creator or whoever you're giving thanks to for being here. Hopefully you're giving thanks to somebody. It's for the sake of inviting others into your circle of song to sing together, not for you to sing only and them just to listen. That's not it. That is not what God wants. It's written in any of the texts that you look into, and I'm going to share this with you. If words are the pen of the heart, taught Rabbi Schneer Zalman of Liadi, one of my favorite rabbis from the past, then song is the pen of the soul. Let me say that again. If words are the pen of the heart, then song is the pen of your soul. Song is the pen of your soul. We all have a soul that lives on after the physical body decays after death. That song, that soul has a voice that wants to be expressed. And a lot of us squelch our own soul voice because we've been told by somebody, oh, you can't sing. It's better off if you're quiet. Well, that person is ignorant who said that. Even though it may be true, we're not to cut each other down because we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. You should suggest instead, you know, I hear your heart song, but could you try to take some ear training? I say this to people often lately because I see people that want to sing, but they can't carry a tune. And so we tell them, oh, please don't sing. Please don't sing. You know, and maybe they don't have a really good voice, but they can have one. Like anything else, why do we go to school? To get better, to develop our skills. And one of the raw materials that we were born with, most of us, if you have a voice, is a soul voice. And don't let people chop it off and quiet you. Go get some training. It's called ear training. You can find it for free online. And it teaches you how to hear notes and what notes are correct. It's practice. Very few of us are born with the gift of being able to sing in key and keep it there. It's called ear training. It's something that you learn. So if you see somebody with the heart to sing, don't say, man, don't, please don't sing. Just say, you know what? There's ear. I hear your joy of singing. I can hear your heart voice. But you know what? There's lessons that all of us can take, including myself. I took them. It's called ear training 101 to help you to hear the sounds that you're expressing with your heart voice so that they appeal to others, because that's what you want to do, right? You don't want to be like a bullhorn offending somebody with your noisy voice. You want to attract people to that loving expression of your soul by getting the needed training. So the soul's pen, however, writes in the opposite direction from the heart. While words carry meaning downward from God, God's own primal consciousness, into the minds of sages and the lips of prophets to inscribe them upon human hearts, song carries the soul upward to be absorbed within the infinite light, aka God. So Why would you ever want to deny any individual human being the experience of lifting up their voice to the light, the infinite light, we'll call the Creator, just because they can't carry a tune? Help them to get there. Everybody needs to practice being able to sing in front of others without fear. It takes a lifetime. At least it took me. And why am I saying this? Because my mother, when I was a teenager, I used to go into my bedroom and feel better about myself when I would turn on Olivia Newton-John or the Beatles and have a soul singing session where I closed the bedroom door and I sang out to my heart's delight with the Beatles. It was therapy. It's mental health. And I came out of my bedroom to have dinner with my family. And my mother said, "Was that you singing?" And I said, "Yes, Ma." She said, "You sound like a sick cow." Well, that destroyed me as a teenager. That destroyed my self-confidence. Words matter. You can hurt somebody, even if you're sarcastic. It's not good. We really, if we want to make this world a better place, we have to think of lifting up others instead of destroying people with our words. So while words carry meaning down from God, song carries the soul up. So don't you think that the Creator is pleased when we deliver our heart in a song? It's our, Christians call it a living sacrifice. It's for all of us to sing to God. That is why nigunim, which is plural for nigum, which are wordless melodies, generally have no words. Words limit and define. But the nigun tears down the soul beyond all bounds, beyond all words. And, you know, if I'm singing in English and you don't know what I'm saying, that's not edifying your brother or sister. It doesn't work. You all have to be able to do the same thing. So what can you do together? You can da 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 da. Everybody can go da 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 da. Try it. Da 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 da. Now we're not on Zoom, so I can't hear you. Da 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 da. Now that just, it's a melody that came off the top of my head. You know, I hear music in my sleep, and I sometimes have to stop and write a song. Well, in case you don't know, I'm a songwriter, okay? So a tzaddik, or a righteous person, and this is from a Hebrew perspective, is one who has mastered the animal inside and achieved a higher state of being. So an example would be, because we have an animal soul and a divine soul, that we have to take a choice, right? Do I want to say something that's going to help somebody else? Or do I want to say something from the animal soul that has, you know, it might even be the truth in the physical realm, but you want to lift people up to a higher level of spirituality. That's the divine soul within each one of us. Okay. That is why each note and nuance of a nigun must be precise. So we're talking about ear training again. If you're all going to sing together in a group, it would be nice if you all sang the same note, you know, and in the defense of the people that are trying to get this, I've heard many song leaders that can't carry a tune, and they should not be up there if they haven't done their homework. That means ear training. Okay. All right. The tzaddik's mind, or the righteous mind and the soul, are held within them. So you can get to a place with singing where you have a command of the divinity inside of you and inside of all of us are sparks of light from God. None of us are complete darkness. We just make choices each day to either make our light brighter or dim that light inside of us and choose the darkness. It's a choice. And I know it's hard in this world that we live in because there's so much violence on TV where we're feeding our minds. Entertainment is all about, you know, who's sleeping with who. These are all things that bring darkness into our soul. So it's hard to be in this world and be a light, but it's possible. The parts of the Nigun are called gates, G-A-T-E-S, entrances from one spiritual world to a higher one. So there's an elevation like a ladder, Jacob's ladder, where we start on the bottom rung or in the physical realm, such as when we wake up from a sleep. That's our base animal self waking up. And as we open our mouths, hopefully you do, when you first wake up and you sing praise to God for giving you another day, it helps to brush off that animal stuff and awakens or reawakens that divinity within you. Yes, this is wonderful. So what is the song? I heard somebody say, what is the song? Let's see. It is in Judaism, and you can, I don't know what it is in Christianity, but you, whatever joy, thanking God for the day, for waking you up and giving you another day. It doesn't even have to be out of a book. You can just thank God. Mode, or for women, Mode, Moda ani lefanecha, melechai, vekayam shehekesatar bi, nishmati bechemla, abba emunatecha. I thank God for giving me another day. Don't you? Okay. So as you go from one spiritual level or rung, ladder rung, in the course of the beginning of a day, getting into your routine, before you start, you want to start your prayers. Each demands not only new breath, but a new state of consciousness. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shalom Dovber, taught, quote, each gate must be repeated twice. The first time only traces a form. The second time carves deep into the soul. Now, if this is all you listen to, you could chew on this all week and think about what I just said here, the words of Rabbi Shalom Dovber. Each gate must be repeated twice. The first time only traces a form, like an impression or an announcement. But the second time carves deep into your soul. And you know, science says that the average brain takes 3 repetitions. So if you want anything, words are powerful, to get deep into your soul, you need to say it aloud more than once. That is why a nigun must never be rushed. And what is nigun? A wordless melody. All must be preserved in order that the nigun reach deep inside. And our rabbi, the rabbi where I go, Rabbi Danny Upben, she will start a nigun, a wordless melody, at a service. And if you don't understand why she keeps repeating the nigun over and over and over, sometimes, like, I can feel in the room that people are thinking, you know, I can feel, you can feel it, if you're especially if you're empathic like I am, you start to feel people thinking, why, you know, let's get on with it, let's, like, next. Because you have to understand what you're trying to do individually and collectively. You're hearing the same melody over and over again. And as you do, you're busting out of your animal soul, so to speak, if you have an imagination, and allowing the divine soul within you to come forth and express itself. And sometimes, if you are very sensitive to your own voice, you can hear your voice change. Yes, change. I hear this all the time when I'm singing. I'm like, your voice becomes stronger from not just here, not just here, but from deep within your spirit. You sing with power. And that's an incredible, incredible experience with the Shekhinah, with God, the feminine aspect of God. So the Holy Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak of Lubavitch, taught, quote, "A nigun, a wordless melody, opens windows of the soul." That's what I'm talking about. Soul power. Woo-hoo-hoo, yes. First, there must be deep contemplation. So picture yourself in the process in your own congregation trying to bust a gut, okay? You're going to be brave. You're going to go in there, whether you're leading or not. All are equally important. Forget this entertainment thing. Forget this thing where people say up there, "I'm a singer and you're not." Forget it. They're just full of ego, too much animal soul. You're going to go in there with your confidence. You practiced home alone at first. Get rid of all the naysayers, those people that criticize your voice. You're going to practice on your own. No matter how long it takes. For me, it took me years, believe it or not, okay, because my mother crushed me when I was a teenager. First, there must be deep contemplation, focusing the mind upon the oneness of the cosmos and its creator, to see that unity within each thing until it becomes more real than even your sense of self. Wow, imagine getting together with a small group of people that have the same mindset. It sounds like an easy group to assemble, but believe me, it's not. I hear people that are into Judaism, in Christianity, they just say, "You know what? I'm not into the spiritual thing. You know, I'm just trying to get my it shade together. You know, I don't have it in me to practice the spirituality of myself. I just need to put myself together after COVID." And I understand that, but it helps each one of us to know that what the goal of singing is not just to sound good. That's Greek. That's the Greek mindset. That's American Idol mindset. That's not the God mindset. You've got to go higher. If you want to go higher in God, if you want more of God than you had yesterday, then you have to do something. God's just not going to drop down in your lap a feel good. You have got to sing to God. This is how you get closer to your creator, to the creator. It's evident. If you ever look at a siddur, it's all about singing. But how many times, if you've been to a synagogue, they don't sing Pisukei de Zimra, they mumble it instead. And they're looking at the clock while they're doing it. You think that's going to bring God? You think that's going to elevate your soul to the higher places by... No, it's not going to happen. You've got to have the courage to go in there by yourself, even if the cantor isn't busting a gut by opening up his or her soul. You've got to be the one to go in there. Not with an attitude of rebellion, no, of love. This is why you've got to... I'm talking from experience because I get so frustrated in the past. I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to sing my lungs out." But that's not what you need to do. I mean, you need to feel the room. This is part of anybody that's skilled in singing. You got to feel the room, meaning you don't want to be the loudest one in the whole congregation. That's not what you're trying to do. You want to lead people. If the person up in the bima or the pulpit doesn't know how to do that, then you in the congregation can do it. Okay? So, first, again, like I said, you must be in deep contemplation. You got to humble yourself. You know, you don't want to go in there and start singing your head off and everybody's looking at you like, "What? What?" You know? And sometimes they do that to me when I'm in there. I'm like, "You know what? I'm just singing to God." And people will look. And I'm like, "I'm not looking for you to look at me. I'm looking to climb that Jacob's ladder to the higher heavens." And people go, "Oh, yeah, okay." So first, there must be deep contemplation, focusing the mind upon the oneness of the cosmos, oneness, echad, oneness, loving everybody in the room because they haven't learned this lesson yet, and they are not being told from the pulpit or the bima. They don't know what this nigun thing is. They're like, stop. You know, you can feel it in the room. I said before, it's like a record. You know, if you have the old 78 or 45 albums and you feel like it's stuck, it's skipping. The nigun keeps going over and over again. And some people are thinking, "Well, let's get on with this and do something else." You know, no. We're trying to get deeper into the spirit. We're thinking about the cosmos, the oneness of the cosmos. We're thinking about the creator and a sense of unity with everybody in the room. To see that unity within each thing until it becomes more real than even your sense of self. Yes. So even the one that's going to go in there and use their voice to bring unity into the congregation has to be thinking about everybody, including your voice. But the contemplation may remain frozen in the realm of cold intellect. If you are stuck in your own mind and you think become too self-conscious, or you're thinking, I'm going to show them how to sing. No, no, no. Nothing's going to happen except you're going to stand out. People are going to get upset with you because they think you're not up there on the bima. Why are you the one that's louder? No, you don't want to offend people. Meditation may enlighten the intellect, but a nigun can uplift and transform all of your being. Yes, let me say that again in case you were sleeping. Okay, meditation, and I love meditation, may enlighten the intellect. Yes, yes, the one. You're in the zone of meditation, but that's not high enough. But a nigun can uplift and transform all of your being, not just your mind, your soul too. Nigun singing. Yes, that is why the ancient prophets would sing and play musical instruments as they awaited the gift of prophecy. Wow. Now, I'm reading this from Chabad. So how many people that are Jewish was wondering if I was going off into the woo-woo land, when actuality, this is Jewish Roots 101. How many of you know that when you're singing together, like the ancients were singing, they would play instruments? And then doesn't that make you wonder, why not? Can you have, a lot of synagogues don't have instruments on Shabbat because they got the band mentality. They don't realize that instruments can be used to draw God near. Like King Saul, you know, he was being assaulted by demons. And so he would call King David into the tent and ask David to play his instrument. And David played an instrument and God came into the house. So if it's okay with King David, then why can't we have instruments of worship in the house of God, the house of prayer? I know some people say, well, it's works. You can't do any works. Carrying an instrument to the bima is work. Get real, people. Okay. Did David say I can't do it on Shabbat because, you know, I can't carry anything? I don't see it written anywhere. Okay. So not for the sake of transcendence alone. Okay. Let's skip back a little bit. In this way, they would strip themselves of the barriers of the body and mind. Instead of looking around, you're not doing that anymore. You're opening yourselves as channels of infinite light. We can all be channels of infinite light. I experience this, and it takes work, avodah. You have to do it with your heart, your soul, with all of your being. You can't be afraid of what somebody thinks because you opened your mouth to sing. But you've done your ear training, so you open your mouth with confidence because you know you're going to be singing the same note as the song leader. That's important. Okay. Not for the sake of transcendence alone, but to draw that transcendence down to earth, to awaken the hearts of humankind, everybody in the room, humankind, to the inner truths of life on earth. This picture of the tree of life, to get each one of us out of ourselves. Many people come into the congregation broken. They're looking for healing, and you can help others by doing your homework. If you have a good voice, understand how to use your voice in a group setting, not to say, look at me. It's not that at all. You need to go back to school and realize, go to Chabad and learn. Your voice is given to you to help others to heal, to bring each other, the whole group, into oneness oneness, one heart, like Bob Marley said, one love, you know? Okay, so I hope that you're still with me and you understand what I'm saying. And I thank you. I see a lot of people on Instagram. I thank you for listening. And I think every one of you wants to use their voice to bring unity to people instead of hatred and rebellion. You don't have to agree with what everybody says, but you can use your singing voice to break down the barriers, not only in others, but in yourself. Okay. There's a song, wrote the second Rebbe of Chabad, Rabbi Dovber. Song lies at the core of life. Song lies at the core of life. Its source is in the most supernal ecstasy. And I'm going to stop right there and continue next week because it's a 30-minute broadcast. But keep this. Write it down if you can. Song lies at the core of life. Its source is in the most supernal ecstasy. Ecstasy. Can you imagine feeling ecstasy in a congregation where you're all in Christianity, they call it one accord. In Hebrew, it's echad. I don't know what it is in Arabic. But I think the word is almost the same in Arabic. Echad. Wahad. I think it's wahad is oneness in Arabic. There is a remnant in every nation that pursues the oneness of God. May we all pursue echad, wahad, oneness, and use our voices, sharpen our vocal skills to start your own group of oneness, doing nigun, no words, because if you have people in a group that don't speak English, you can still break the barrier and get to a point of ecstasy, but you have to explain very well what you're doing. If you just get up there and start da 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 da, some of them are going to go, what in the world? What's wrong? What is this? You have to explain the purpose of a nigun. Okay, so I hope that you enjoyed this, that you'll come again next Sunday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time for A Story and a Song. And please look for my podcast on YouTube, A Story and a Song, and subscribe so you can share the archive video with somebody else. Maybe you're trying to start a group with somebody and you want to start a group singing all wordless melodies. Well, share this podcast with them to help them understand. You could say, hey, do you want to get together and do a nigun group or a wordless melody group? And they might go, huh? So share this teaching with them and let them sit on it and see what they say. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out my music, DeborahCohenMusic.com, and my band merch on Amazon.com. Just look for Deborah Cohen. Thank you very much, and I hope to see you again next week. Yes.
We are the people of the human race. Look at your brother now living in disgrace. Do you give him a hand from where on earth you stand? We all have needs in this disunity. People point fingers at their enemies, thinking of hurting one birth from the same seed. People, people, people,
people. Deborah Cohen, from the New Wave 80s into faith music to Hebrew and pop rock or sync music for TV, movie, and films. Multi-genre music, Deborah Cohen.